ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco Analyst Relations Speaker Series conference call. My name is Michelle, and I will be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We will conduct a question and answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. And I would now like to turn the call over to your host for today, Ms. Amy Poon. Please proceed.
Greetings, everyone. This is Amy in the Analyst Relations Group, and I'd like to welcome you to our speaker series teleconference on Cisco's vision of the Empowered Branch. Today's presenters are Dave Frampton, Vice President of Product Marketing for the Access Routing Technology Group, and Inbar Lasser-Rob, Director of Solutions Marketing Network Systems. Dave is responsible for product management, product marketing, portfolio management, and strategy for Cisco's integrated services router. Under his leadership in this role, Cisco's integrated services router have grown to a $3 billion-plus annual business and have been the fastest ramping products in Cisco's history. He has helped lead the transformation of the access router market into a services platform market with the integration of security, voice, wireless, WAN optimization, and video services into the access routing systems. Mr. Frampton joined Cisco Systems in July 1996 from the Stratacom acquisition. Inbar is responsible for marketing the Cisco Access Routing and Switching portfolio and the Empowered Branch solutions. Through her work at Cisco, Inbar has met with many enterprise and commercial customers to discuss their branch vision and strategy and identified how Cisco can help them successfully implement it. Prior to joining to Cisco, Inbar was Vice President of Marketing at Riverstone Networks, where she managed the company's worldwide marketing and channel activities and was part of the turnaround team driving the company's acquisition by Lucent. After the presentation, we will have a Q&A period. The operator will poll participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We'll also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I wish to thank you in advance for providing your candid feedback. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Inbar.
Thank you, Amy, and hello, everyone. 3 weeks ago or so, we announced the Empower Branch announcement with many, many new components on our routers and switches, as well as additional capabilities. I think we announced 10 different new products under the umbrella name of the Empowered Branch. What we would like to do this morning, and probably this noon time for some of you, is or evening, I think we have some international folks on the line, is go over what is Empowered Branch. That's a framework that we are rolling out to the market, to our customers, and cover that with you so you'll know what it means. We're going to roll out a lot of additional products under this framework over time, and we want to take the time, a few minutes in the front, to really cover that framework. Then I'm going to pass the call over to Dave Frampton, and he'll go over those additional capabilities and products that we rolled out to the market 3 weeks ago, and we'll go one by one. It's going to be a bit of a long conversation there, but we'll try to make it very simple and touch every one of them to leave enough time for questions and answers at the end if you want to know about one technology in more detail. So starting on, and I hope all of you have the charts. If not, you can probably submit a question to Amy, and she will make sure you get it. I'm starting on chart number two here, and I want to explain why are we focusing so much on the branch and the Empower Branch framework. If you look at the changes in the market, and I must admit a lot of those changes and trends that we cover on our charts come from you and from your researches, what we're seeing is that the branches are really growing in terms of their strategic influence on business growth, where in the past a lot of the business drive, the business motivation came from headquarters. Headquarters would set the strategy and the execution, and branch offices would be just remote offices that drive that execution. What we're seeing today with globalization, with acquisitions, with branches taking a bigger part in driving business in remote locations, that their role is growing, and more of the new employees, actually the majority of new employees, start to work at branches. So overall, number of branches is growing, the number of employees in remote offices is growing, and a lot of the intellectual properties for those businesses actually reside at the remote offices. We have great examples of small and medium-sized customers that we have with 5, 6, 7 branches that are spread all over the world, where R&D is being done all over the world. So that puts in new requirements to drive that global distributed organization, even for small and medium-sized businesses. If we add to that all the other drivers, the technology drivers that I've kind of listed around, new Web 2.0 applications, requirements for more mobility at the branch, employees bring into the branch requirements from what they know in their homes. And we all, the most of us are comfortable with wireless at our homes, with new capabilities at our homes. We expect the same level of demands in our offices. So bringing it all together, there is a requirement for a new IT infrastructure in the branch to be able to support all these new capabilities, as well as the business growth that the branches are driving. So I'm moving along to chart number 3. And when we talk to our customers, and I must admit that most of the time, probably, I don't want to put percentages, but the majority of the time, they describe what I call the blue picture, the left side of this chart. And what they're telling us that when they build their IT infrastructure for their branch, they obviously started with routers and switches, and then over time, requirements started to change and evolve. So if a branch needed to open up for internet access because they may have a need for a lot of traffic, internet traffic in the branch, while the other branches still go through the headquarters for that, that puts a requirement for additional security capabilities. So they deploy a firewall or maybe additional security solutions in that branch. And maybe one branch has a WAN issue and they need to accelerate traffic, they may put another solution in that branch. And over time, these branches start to look differently from an IT infrastructure, where it's patch over patch, solution over solution, and not a consistent, let's redesign our branch type of strategy. So the result, one branch doesn't look like another, not consistent set of capabilities, very difficult for the IT team to really support those different branches, and even more difficult to try and evolve all those branches consistently for new capabilities. And that's exactly what the Empowered Branch came to solve. It's really about helping our customers streamline their IT infrastructure at the branch. We're allowing them, working with them, a lot of time our channel partners are working with them to define what are the business needs at the branch, how do we translate that to IT infrastructure need, and then defining what are those building blocks of capabilities that they need in every branch. And once we define those building blocks in terms of routing and switching, security, unified communication, voice video application, availability requirements, all that, then we can define this is a set of capabilities. Now we can define it differently for small, medium, or large branches with the actual products and solutions that go into that. So in summary, Empowered Branch is really about allowing our customers to define the branch infrastructure needs and then work with them to customize and build that needs based on a collection of integrated and standalone solutions from Cisco. So if you move to chart number 4, that's exactly what the framework came to deliver. The framework is there in the center. It's about routing and switching and management in the center with integrated security, application intelligence, mobility solutions, and unified network services solutions, which cover unified communication as well as end-to-end branch WAN architecture. And the building blocks are listed around that. These are our routers or switches, our integrated services solutions into the routers and switches, as well as our different appliances on the wireless side, the WAN acceleration, security, and unified communication. And Empowered Branch is about mixing and matching appliances and integrated solutions for our customers. So moving along to chart 5, what is the unique value that we bring as Cisco into that and to our customers? It's really about the largest set of services for the branch, integrated and standalone consistently. If a customer needs a security service, a WAN service, or a WAN interface, or and I'll talk about new routing capabilities, we probably already developing it or already released it. So we really try to keep ahead and keep adding more and more services. And I already touched on the continuous innovation point. really, what you'll see today is we're announcing 10 different things at the same time, and there's a lot more to come from us. And the idea is we really want to keep up adding more and more service capabilities to allow our customers to adopt them in the branch. And our strategy by integrating it into our routers and switches, as well as offering standalone solutions, is really allowing us to lower barriers to entry for our customers to adopt those technologies in the branch. And the last point that I want to make here is, a lot of time people ask us, okay, so you put a lot of capabilities together, what's the big deal? Customers can really go and buy multiple solutions from multiple vendors and have a similar solution. So the point we want to make here is that we also took care of service interoperability. When we make solution available for the branch, we made sure that our routers, our switches, our unified communication, our security, one service doesn't break the other. And a lot of time it's not a trivial thing to do, because when you apply one acceleration, for example, it may affect voice, actually it may affect security capabilities. And when you apply some security capabilities, you may affect voice quality. So we really made sure that all these services interoperate, and you'll see some nice examples today from Dave, how we brought in one acceleration together with some new routing capabilities to enhance that interoperability even better. So I want to leave us some time for actually what we're announcing today. So moving along to chart six, what you'll see here is you'll see the Empower Branch framework on the left side. We have, as I said, 10 new capabilities all mapping into that framework. So we have new routing and switching platforms, new integrated security platforms, new mobility solutions, so new in every area of that framework. And I'll pass it along to you, Dave, to go over each one of those.
Thank you, Inbar. So on slide six here, as you can see in the top part of the slide there, in the areas that Inbar laid out, routing and switching, security, app intelligence, mobility, unified communications, you see from top to bottom in the chart the roadmap evolution from late last year. And just to reemphasize the point that Inbar made, we, at the expense probably of a little bit of focus, we are really trying to make sure that we come to you as the analyst community, but more importantly to our customers, with a sense of the whole communication system for the branch office, not just a module here or there for the ISR, but adding in, as you can see, the pieces we're going to talk about today, including not just ISR, but a switch, including some innovation in iOS, including some innovation in the UC area, that really all come together to make the branch communication system that Inbar talked about. So I'll just highlight at the top of the slide a couple of innovations. For those on the call who may not have been briefed on this space in some time, it may be a repeat for others. But quickly, the WAS network module, this is wide area application services, and this is an important innovation that we rolled out on the ISR as an optional integrated module in December of last year. This really addresses the pain point of application response time and performance at the branch offices, which, as Inbar said, are really undergoing a transformation as applications are pushed out, webified, and at the same time things are consolidated to the data center. So this has been a bit of a game changer in the marketplace. It's really Cisco's first entry along with the appliances into this space, and we've seen tremendous interest there. I'll talk in a couple of slides about how we're building on that momentum. The second piece I'd highlight, looking backwards before we look forward to our new announcements here, is the introduction of the wireless 3G WAN module for the router. This is an important new innovation. It essentially gives us a wireless WAN option for backup and for rapid deployment where you don't want to wait for your service provider. We've seen a tremendous amount of interest in the customer base on this because it essentially solves a problem of the backhoe cutting both the primary and the backup line to the branch office, so it really provides a true backup service. And it also is important in areas like construction and kiosk vertical segments where people need to rapidly deploy and sometimes temporarily deploy robust infrastructure. And so I highlight both of those as two things which are definitely catalyzing upgrades and interest in our branch. And then as we look forward, I won't go through all the details on the bottom as we have a slide on each of them, but only just to highlight, as Inbar did, really the strategy here is to try to create synergy between these services, not just that they don't break each other, but that you can do unique things because we're doing voice and security in the same integrated system. And I'll try to highlight some of those as we go through each of the individual pieces, but essentially the whole is greater than the sum of the parts is the broader branch strategy that we're trying to get across. So if you push to the next slide, we begin to focus on each of the pieces of the Empowered Branch 3 announcement. The first one is a new platform entry for us. This is the 1861, and you can see there where it fits in the broader portfolio of the ISRs, particularly for voice densities, as you see highlighted on the chart there. This really takes us to a much better packaging for a down-market solution for very small branch offices and the SMB, with a package oriented towards 8 phones, whereas previously we had heavier systems more oriented toward dozens of phones and even into the hundreds. And this is a companion platform to the new UC500 platform that many of you on the call may have been briefed on last spring. And essentially what it is a tight packaging of an integrated switch to aggregate phones, the voice gateway, FXO ports, FXS, BRI, and including WAN options in this package, and also survivable remote site telephony options in case you lose your connection to the wide area. And those last two really differentiate this offer from its sister platform, the UC500, which you've already been briefed on. So key message here is this just continues our aggressive push down market into the SMB space with unified communications, and it is a significant growth area for us, and we look to see a rapid ramp of both this and the UC500 platform. So if you click to the next slide, on slide 8, here you see a new entry in the switching lineup, and similar theme, extending the portfolio down market where the growth is, as many SMBs are coming to networking, and also the number of SMBs continues to grow with globalization and economic diversity. So you see here the 2960 will really extend us down market for entry-level customers who still want to be in the Catalyst family with all of the robust support and features like QoS and security and availability that are consistent within the Cisco fabric. As you see, provides a terrific upgrade path for people trying to get a little bit more robust solution than you can get with hubs or unmanaged switches, and is a good, clean migration path for customers on the 2950. And you see some of the details and the three SKUs that we're offering down at the bottom of the slide there. Again, same theme, a lot of innovation bringing Cisco class solutions down market. If you click to slide 9, here we go into two of the new announcements, both in the security area. So on the left side of the chart, we start with the network access control module for the ISR. And this is really getting at validating posture assessment and doing remediation for devices getting onto the network at remote and branch offices. And what's new about this are two things. One is this module for the ISR enables us to take all of the appliance capabilities that we're already shipping for the campus and bring them down to cost points and form factors that make for an easy deployment in the branch office. This is very important because at the branch you have a much greater degree of guest access and customer access, devices of unknown trustworthiness that are trying to get on the network, particularly with a lot of Wi-Fi access in branch offices. So this really enables a security policy and compliance validation out at the periphery of the network where it's most important. It's optimized in each module for 50 to 100 users. And as I said, it's completely consistent with all of the appliance lineup and really gives you that full end-to-end framework for the network access control. And then on the right side of the chart, you see the second announcement in the security area. This is a new AIM module. This is the smaller daughter card form factor for the ISR. And this is an intrusion prevention system, completely, again, consistent with all of our appliances. Supports the same number of signatures, supports the same management tools, and again is optimized to be in line right at the point between the LAN and the WAN, which is really the unique role in the network of the integrated services router, and it's why doing this in a module is very attractive, because you get very real-time dropping and quarantining of malicious traffic as detected by the system. So very, very important addition to our portfolio.
I want to add a comment here. For those of you who are not familiar with the ISR family in depth, if you looked at chart 9, we have four major families there, the 800, 1800, 2800, and 3800, with the new addition kind of in between. Typically, the divider between the 800 and the 1800 to the 2838 was that the 2800, 3800 are fully modular platform that support the unified communication. The new addition with the 1861 is sitting kind of in this, it's a fixed platform with unified communication, so it sits there on that line that divides the two parts. But the point I wanted to make here is that the 2800 and the 3800 are modular platforms that allow us to add modules like a network module, which is a wide slot solution, or an A module that is a daughter board, as Dave mentioned, to add additional performance and to be able to scale the service integration. So when customers say, are you going to run out of performance, that's where we start adding additional hardware modules into the router to add the performance needed to scale our solution. And IPS is just a great example where we had IPS on our iOS solution, but because of performance, IPS is a very performance-intensive function to support the entire set of 2,200 signatures. Each one maps to a thread to get to the same level as an appliance like the IPS 4200 solution. We needed additional hardware. We couldn't just do it with iOS. And that's a great example how we allow our customers to just plug in an A module to get an appliance-grade solution integrated into the router, while before, they couldn't pick all of those signatures. So really allowed us to scale and provide an appliance-grade solution on an integrated router.
Inbar makes a great point, and more broadly, you know, from a system point of view, as she points out, the performance of all of these add-on modules don't take away from the basic performance of the network routing that you need to do to keep that solid connectivity to the branch. And also from a fault point of view, almost every conceivable fault on these services is contained to one of these modules. So you don't really lose any reliability by combining the multiple devices into one. But they are all within the same support contract and infrastructure. So it is a key part of the ISR strategy and one that we'll continue to build on as we build out this portfolio of service modules. So if you click onto slide 10, two new announcements, both in the application performance area. Remember one of the key pillars that we talked about earlier. First is a new WAS module, and I mentioned the module that we came out with last December. This is a new higher performance version that fits in the 3800 router, really designed for those larger offices that may be getting to beyond just T1 and DSL connectivity to the rest of the network. It's able to scale to the number of concurrent TCP flows and the amount of compression that you need to really handle that larger size office, and gets us really equivalent to the low end of the appliance line. A lot of energy around the space, as all of you know. I would have to say, of all of our announcements in the last year, this is the single one. Getting this inside of the router and working coherently with iOS and security, as we talked about earlier, is probably one of the most significant upgrade drivers we've seen in the branch space in some time. So yes, we announce many things, but there's always an increase in emphasis on a few, and I would point to this as one of the areas that's gaining significant traction in the marketplace. Then on the right side of the chart, you see new performance-based routing. This is the renamed and expanded optimized exit routing for those of you who follow this space. And essentially what this is the ability for the network, again, not just the branch, but across the network to the head end as well, to do routing based on policy criteria to do with network performance, like jitter and delay, could also be business policy, like the cost of different routes. And this leverages, in a very unique way, all of the tools that have been built up in iOS over the years, NetFlow, IPSLA, brings these things all together into a coherent system and lets you then deploy that across the network to get real business benefit and help you optimize the performance of a video and voice application on the one hand versus a bulk file transfer application on the other. This is a great example of a bit of the synergy that we were hinting at earlier of taking the individual piece parts, pulling them together in a holistic system to then deliver the business value. Also, we announced just last month late the partnership with Fluke Networks to do a nice, very executive-level reporting tool that brings all of this together in a way that helps you monitor and then configure and deploy performance-based routing from a consolidated point of view in a NOC without having to worry about CLI at many different devices. So very, very important, and really shows the value, the cumulative value of bringing together all of the Cisco innovation in a system. Click to the next slide. We'll move to unified communications. And there, we don't have a lot of detail, but we did want to highlight the continuing and large amount of innovation that we have in the UC space as it applies to the branch office. And we have four listed here. I'll just very quickly tick through these, and then if there's more interest in Q&A, we can follow up. First, the Unified Voice Messaging Gateway. Essentially, this is a gateway that helps us scale the modules for voicemail that we have in the integrated services routers at the branch offices to many more sites. In the past, we were limited to about 500 sites for a complete system, and now with this gateway, we're able to scale to 1,000 sites for each gateway and therefore build networks of many thousands of sites and also interoperate more seamlessly between the Unity voicemail systems that might be at the campus along with these voicemail systems on the modules out at the remote and branch office. So important scaling enhancement there.
I need to interrupt you. Just the numbers are mind-boggling. I think we scale it to up to 10,000 sites or even 20,000 in a full mesh and 2 million users. So I think we're yet to find an organization that has more than 2 million users.
Very few with 2 million users. But it is actually a great point. The big thing in the branch office is you need to hit the scale of thousands of branches. That's the key thing. And if you're at 500 where we were, getting that voicemail system distributed and also making sure that we give you flexibility on the campus Unity appliance and also the remote solution for the branch office is really key. And then quickly, local extension mobility coming to the Cisco Unified Communications Express. For those who don't track our acronyms, this is the Call Manager Express software that runs on the router, integrated into the router as a low-end solution that companions with Call Manager for our call control. Giving this local extension mobility enables the call center application that's highlighted here. And then adding E911 to the survivable remote site telephony. For those who don't track this space regularly, this survivable remote site telephony is one of the most popular applications for the router in the UC area. This is the ability when you're doing IP telephony and you lose communications with your headquarters or with the wide area in general, you can then fall back to a very limited scaled down call control set of features that give you basic connectivity between all of the phones and end stations within the branch office, but also a gateway out to the PSTN. And this is where adding this E911 capability really expands the target deployment and the target market for this survivable remote site telephony application. And then finally, in our Unity Express area, this is the voicemail, we've beefed up some of the security there and added multiple language support, included some vertical market specific interactive voice response capabilities for pharmacies as an example that help you with database queries, just really trying to make that voicemail system that runs inside the router a more holistic whole offer that solves a business problem as opposed to being just a narrow voicemail system. Go ahead, Amber.
Yeah, just one more addition from a security enhancement capabilities to really meet compliance requirements for our customers. We added capabilities like the ability to encrypt voice conversations and to also record, and customers get notification of recording through a beep. So really there were compliance requirements that our customers came back and said, if we want to use the unified communication on the router, we really need to be able to have those capabilities to be compliant. So we added those. And I think in general, there's a lot of new requirements, new additions, but the concept is we are trying to bring up the unified communication solution on the ISRs to be more at par with the appliance, again, to give our customers that choice to mix and match and integrate it all across.
Great point, Anbar. So then as we come to the close of our new announcements, we have, I think, our last one on slide 12 in the mobility area. We've added 802.11n support to the controller module for the ISR. And again, just notice, as Enbar pointed out, these wide module form factors for the ISR are essentially Linux servers that slide into the ISR, up to four of them at the top end of the portfolio. And having a wireless controller distributed out at the branch to handle APs for, you know, an office of maybe 150 to 250 people is a very, very scalable way to deploy all of the important localized management functions to deal with roaming and radio coverage, security policy, all of these things. So this is an important innovation. Obviously, as we scale to the new standard and get higher performance, as is noted on the slide, we can do this with just a software upgrade, so there's complete investment protection there. And obviously, we share compatibility and support for the new Aeronet 1250 series, which was announced, I think, 6 weeks ago or so, at the beginning of September. So just, you know, continued enhancements in the mobility area as more and more of the branch offices take on more mobile devices and support a lot of their laptops and other infrastructure wirelessly. Okay, so if you click to the last slide, we have slide 13. And this really sums it up. I know we've covered quite a bit here, but as Enbar said, 10 significant new enhancements for the branch office, many on the ISR, but as we broaden out, we've talked about several in the appliance space as well and picked up the switching. The two new platforms are going to be important for us, extending both routing and switching down market on the voice side for routing and more into the SMB space for the switches. And the key themes, as we've talked about throughout, are really trying to give customers the flexibility to make that infrastructure at the branch office seamless, interoperable, and consistent in its level of service and performance with what the users experience at the campus and headquarters. And this really addresses a lot of the trends that Enbar started us off with about the amount of employees and decision-making and application infrastructure being pushed out to the edge. So this is really a continuation of our strategy, but we feel that these enhancements really take us to the next level and have really given us a significant degree of catalyst for upgrade cycles at the branch and remote office. So at this point, we'll transition over to the question and answer period. So Amy, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. thank you very much, Dave and Enbar, for a very informative presentation. Operator, at this time, we would like to ask you to poll the audience for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star one to begin now. Your first question comes from the line of Dan O'Connell. Please proceed.
Hi, this is Dan O'Connell of Gartner. My question is regarding to where the actual call processing gets done at the remote offices for such products as the ISR 2800 or 2900. From your presentation, I'm guessing that a lot of the UC and call processing services get done over at the headquarters and that the at on-site it's more as a gateway to the call manager. Am I correct with that?
Dan, that's a great question. There are two deployment models for UC at the branch office. In the first deployment model, it's just as you articulate there, there'll be a call manager at usually a central site that will be doing the call control and dial plans and everything else. And you do have a gateway functionality out at the branch office, which, you know, obviously takes in legacy devices through TDM interfaces on the router. But then, as we pointed out, in this survivable mode can also serve in a backup mode to provide dial plan connectivity just within that branch office should you lose connectivity to that central site and call manager. That's the first deployment model. That one's most commonly used in the enterprise space and for larger customers. We do have a second deployment model, which is for smaller customers, and many customers who just have a single site or a very small number of sites. And that's the Cisco Call Manager Express functionality, which is the call control built into iOS running on the router. And that's really a complete kind of key system, small PBX built into iOS that obviously doesn't scale to an entire enterprise, but which is sufficient for the needs of a single site. And in that deployment model, you're not reliant on the call manager at the center. You can kind of fully distribute out and use the iOS router as both a router and the key switch. So those are the two different deployment modes that we have. And we have a nice seamless upgrade path. You can upgrade your SRST capability in the first deployment mode, which gives you the failover two, the call control key system functionality in the second deployment mode with just a remote software upgrade and the purchase of a license.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Your next question comes from the line of Robin Leyland. Please proceed.
Good announcement on all the integration. My question comes, I think it applies mainly to the 3800, where you integrate the acceleration module into it. The question is, do you pass the entire data stream to the security modules, like the IPS, before the acceleration optimization? And is it done, if you do, is it done in parallel or serial?
Oh, great question. I'll struggle to give a short answer. There are several different deployment models, and as you, I think, get at in your question, the order in which you perform encryption is important, and whether you're doing the intrusion prevention in line or whether you're copying packets and then sending it to the intrusion prevention device. Both deployment models are possible in the intrusion prevention. Depending on which one you pick, then you'll have an option as to how to deploy the WAS technology, which is usually done transparently. And usually you have to be careful that you're compressing and then encrypting in that order. Otherwise, you don't get a lot of the benefit of the WAS service. So I know that's a little bit of a complex answer, but if you're interested in going over some of the deployment models in greater detail, we can do that offline. I think there are four or five different ways to do this, and I'll struggle to explain them all in a short period of time here. But there is some flexibility there and choice as to how you do it.
Okay, then I'd like to sometime follow up on that. Thank you.
Okay, good deal. We'll set up a follow-up call.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Great. Actually, I would like to ask one that I have received in advance. The question is, from all the new UC capabilities, what are the most important ones?
Okay. For the UC capabilities, just to recall, since the question is, of all the ones that you've announced, what are the ones that are most significant? We announced four today. The first one, just quickly, the Unified Messaging Gateway to scale the voicemail, the local extension mobility for call centers, the E911 for the survivable remote site telephony, and then the Unity Express enhancements for voicemail. From my chair, although I think all are important announcements, the most significant one is the E911 extension to the survivable remote site telephony, and this is because that solution is already very, very widely deployed and very popular, this kind of fallback mode that we've talked about a couple of times on this call. Extending 911 support in that case of WAN failure opens up new markets that previously had compliance and regulatory restrictions that prevented the deployment of IP telephony. So it very quickly takes a hardened, proven solution and then opens it up to new segments that we expect rapid adoption. So I think from a market standpoint and a market breadth and revenue impact standpoint, I think that's probably the one of the four that I'd highlight.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Operator, would you please pull the audience once more for any questions?
Certainly. Once again, for questions, that is star followed by one. And your next question is a follow-up from Dan O'Connell. Please proceed.
Hi there. Just one follow-up question here. I am wondering if you know of any tie-in towards, let's say, a remote management application such as RTOS.
Dan, I'm not aware of a tie-in there. It could just be something that's not on my radar screen. I'm happy to follow up and look into it.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Operator,
your next question is from the line of Larry Burton. Please proceed.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I was wondering if you might be able to elaborate a little bit more on the partnership you just kind of quickly mentioned with Fluke and what is something we can expect out of that.
So the partnership was really we worked with them. So we throughout the development of PFR, we worked with them, and so it was a shared development, if you like, where we gave them all the answers they needed to develop their support for the PFR capability. So I think partnership is probably an extreme word, but it was done in together and. But they pretty much developed it by working with us and working with our engineers.
Just to add to that, Larry, that, you know, these types of vendors typically have a lot of Cisco experience that they've built up over the years working with us, and in many cases they have Cisco engineers. So they had a lot of experience at NetFlow and IPSLA doing more limited tools just for those features. So it really made it the right, you know, partnership to really scale it up to the broader, you know, PFR. Just to give you a little bit of a sense, I mean, this is going to be something that we'll be able to expand to include technical support. So they'll be able to front end some technical support when you're in the NOC and using their management dashboard tool, because they are so familiar with some of the building blocks underneath and in iOS. And this is really something that we're seeing more and more demand for across the network, is the ability to synthesize these types of functionalities from all the different devices and really extrapolate it out to a single monitoring and management tool. So I don't think this will be kind of the end of it. I think you'll see, you know, relationships with more companies who do this type of work that they do more efficiently in some cases and more flexibly than Cisco is able to. And I think you'll also see an expansion of capability across them. Larry, we can also provide you some detail. I think we have a packet that went out with the announcement for Fluke, so we can provide that to you if you want some background detail and give you data sheets and those types of things if you're looking for more detail.
And contacts with them, because I'm sure they'll be happy to follow up with you as well.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larry.
Your next question comes from the line of John Mazur. Please proceed.
Hey, Dave. John Mazur, Aberdeen Group. I was wondering if you can give me a little bit more detail as to what sort of performance gains we'd expect to see out of the WAS network module.
Sure, John. I'll give you some broad parameters. So in general, the performance increases that you get are going to be in two different areas. One is just a raw compression, and that's just a redundancy elimination capability that devices in this class have to cache information on a local disk, and then, you know, when they get a request for that information, they're just going to, you know, send a pointer across the network, as opposed to, you know, all of the information. And there you'll see stuff in the you know, in the data sheet wars that'll tell you it's 100-to-1 or 1,000-to-1. In general, I think in real world deployments, you're going to see, you know, tens to one compression just from a raw bandwidth throughput point of view, and I can give you a lot more detail on that'll capture what real world is if you're looking to do comparisons across competitors whose, you know, data sheets say that's, you know, 1,000-to-1. And then the other area that you get performance improvements in is in this application response time. And that one depends on the application and whether we have accelerating adapters for it. So, as it, you know, SIFS is one example that we support. We're rolling out support for Oracle, and then of course there's a huge roadmap as you know, everybody kind of develops a specific adapter for every application. And there, I can't quote them off the top of my head, but what I can do is I can give you a bit of an analysis that we've done using several different example applications, and it'll give you round trip and access delay times to the data center and the central server as users, you know, pull up and try to make queries of the database or get refreshes and updates from central servers. I'll give you a kind of a matrix which will show you, depending on how many users at a time, depending on which application, what sort of performance improvement that you could expect. So we'll have to follow up to give you that detail.
We also have a report that was done by Miercom on our website that provides a lot of performance information as well.
That's a great point.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you, John.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Seary. Please proceed.
Hello. I guess I had a question about Fluke as well, and I guess you touched on it a little bit. I just wondered, can you go over kind of your, you know, broad thinking about strategy and investment? I mean, you have a range of Cisco Manager products and what have you. When do you decide to invest in your own products? When do you decide to work with somebody like Fluke?
That's a great question. It is one that we're looking at across all of the range of services right now. And I can tell you just broadly, you know, some of the inputs you would expect, which are how quickly can we move versus how quickly, you know, an alternate partner can move. But others that are important in our consideration as we're thinking about officially endorsing and focusing on one partner are the experience base and stability of the partner, because people rely on Cisco as kind of the bulwark support vendor for their network, and we want to make sure that as we partner with people, they're going to have the financial stability, the stability in their engineering force to really stay with it for the long term. So it needs to be a priority for the company, and it needs to make sense for them financially. Many of these small companies are doing this kind of management tool work across many different areas, and it's not clear which one of them they want to focus on in order to build their company and potentially, go public someday. And so we have to go through quite a bit of diligence to make sure that when we choose a network partner to do this type of work, that they are going to be with us for the long term and investing the appropriate amount of resource. So that's one filter. The other filter that we have to use is a bit of a roadmap filter that we have access to and these partner companies do not, which is which of these services we think we're going to combine together. And once we combine them together, we'll then have potentially different requirements for the management integration that are hard to retrofit. So we have to pick partners who have a relatively flexible and open architecture that gives us that flexibility to decide. In the example of WAS, you'll see some work we do with NetQoS. We have to be able to add in some of the pieces in iOS, some of the pieces in security, along with the WAS functionality all together. And we have to have a technical architecture that supports that. So just, at a broad high level, those are two levels of consideration that we have to, to ponder before we choose an individual partner to endorse. Does that help you?
It does. I guess, maybe a follow-up some other time. I mean, if the major consideration is the need for a flexible open architecture, why don't you just buy one? But we can follow up on that later, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, would be happy to. We can follow up and talk about it more broadly. Thank you much.
And your next question comes from the line of Chris Christensen. Please proceed.
Hi, this is Chris Christensen from IDC. Can you talk a little bit about consolidating the management of all of these capabilities, and specifically in the area of security?
Mm-hmm. So the consolidation of the management is obviously something that adds great value to ramping to revenue and ramping to deployment in these solutions. And in the security area, it's been true for a number of years, and we've seen a great deal of success in the marketplace of the CSM management tool, which is our integrated security management tool that helps us manage not just appliances, but also iOS devices, and also then hooks into the monitoring and correlation engine in the CS Mars tool. I hope if you're not familiar with both those tools, we can follow up in detail on them. But this has been probably the most popular network management tool that certainly I've seen in my Cisco career. And so what we plan to do with that is expand that tool to pair it with a unified communications tool, and then introduce an abstraction layer above the two of those tools, and then roll that out for managed services and large enterprise deployments. Truthfully, I think we'll see probably traction in the managed service area first, only because in the enterprise space you have a very kind of fragmented environment of proprietary and kind of company-specific tools and systems that have already been deployed in order to deal with the administration of the network. But I think you're absolutely hitting a top-of-mind issue for us is how do we focus our bets there and make sure we do things that are open architecturally enough so that we can continue to add the services. But specifically in security, I think we have great momentum with CSM. I think you'll see us expand that tool. Next step is UC and WAS to blend together with it.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Great. I actually have a couple more questions I'd like to ask if there are no questions in the audience. Excuse me. The next question I have is, what scenario would you recommend the Catalyst 2960?
Okay, you mean the 2960 Lite that we just announced?
Correct.
So the Lite was really developed to allow, as I think Dave mentioned, entry-level customers to be able to adopt a Catalyst solution versus a non-managed hubs or lower-grade solution. the big differences between the light option, the 2960 light, is that the price. First of all, it's an entry price. It's as Dave mentioned, it's we pretty much matched it to the prices of the 2950 to allow new customers or customers who are ordering new switches to start with a new hardware platform that can scale and grow with them. But from a functionality perspective, it the 24 ports and the 48 ports support 10100, while the full 2960 support 10100 1000 Ethernet. And they also have more basic QoS capabilities. They have less security features as the full 2960. So it's somewhat of a scale down, but it's a good entry price, and it's a great opportunity to go to a fully managed Catalyst-grade product.
Great. Thank you very much, Inbar. Operator, we have time for one more question. Can you please poll the audience?
Your final question comes from the line of Frank Dozek. Please proceed.
This is Frank Zubek, Communications Network Architects. You know, Cisco in January initiated a whole bunch of conversations with respect to the green issue of not only the data center, but also the green issue of the branch. And I haven't heard anything mentioned about that during this presentation. So can you comment how this fits in, or whether it fits in at all, to any of the greening of the branch concepts that Cisco has?
Sure, sure thing, Frank. So a couple of things on green. There are several different avenues that, as I'm sure you heard in January and probably since then as well, that we're pursuing in order to make our portfolio and our whole offer more green. I would say at the branch office, you know, certainly in the areas of the product and services integration here, there are a couple of things that are on our minds. First is the strategy of combining multiple appliances and servers into the ISR, into these server modules, on the ISR does provide a fairly compelling green footprint reduction story. We have a white paper that goes through some of the detail on how you would go through these calculations. But essentially, it just means, you know, power draw because you get greater utilization of assets as opposed to having, you know, several appliances and servers running at you know, fractional capacity. We don't have a full virtualization infrastructure yet across the server modules in the ISR, but that's one that we're thinking about. And certainly, you know, the more that you consolidate the infrastructure at the branch, you know, the more savings there is from certainly a carbon footprint and also a just overall consumption footprint in terms of the resources necessary to manage all of the infrastructure out there. The second one has to do with the power supplies in particular, because you can make advances and okay, we use less packaging and all these things, but in general, something that's deployed for 10 years, if you can be even a few percent more efficient in it, then you actually get the biggest bang for the buck in your green reduction. So the thing we're thinking about there is how, as we evolve the products, we can balance the capacity and the efficiency of the power supplies that are used to run both the router and these server modules that we're adding in. And I think you don't see us announce that yet because it's a bit forward-looking. That this is work that's in product development right now. So I'd say in the near term, it's more making sure that we understand the savings and impact from the basic strategy of consolidation. In the longer term, I think I'd point to the power supply infrastructure as the main way. Certainly the ISR at the branch will advance. And then, of course, there are other devices at the branch, too, that each have their own initiative there. But for today's announcement and putting it in theme, I think the consolidation is the main angle on green.
Yeah, and one more comment. As Dave mentioned, we're going to publish our white paper fairly soon, and just the concept of integrating multiple solutions into a single device delivers a lot of power efficiencies, which we're trying to quantify in that white paper to show our customers the value of service integration.
Frank, if you're interested, we can try to give you an early flash of that white paper if you'd like.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Great. Operator?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We will not be taking additional questions at this time, but I do want to take a moment here to thank our analyst audience for taking the time to join our call today. And also thank you, Dave and Imbar, for presenting to our analyst audience. If you have additional follow-up questions, please contact Rebecca Noriega. Her email address is rnoriega@cisco.com. And at this time, I'd like to wish everyone have a great day. And operator, please go ahead and close the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.